Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
And blessed be his kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you govern all things, both in heaven and on earth. Mercifully hear the supplications of your people, and in our time, grant us your peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from the book of Micah. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. Oh, my people, what have I done to you? In what have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of the world? Has he told you, O mortal, what is good? And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided, through the foolishness of our proclamation, to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way, they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Here at St. Thaddeus, we are blessed to worship in this beautiful building. And dominating everything is that cross over the altar. I think it's especially attractive when draped by the multicolored hanging. So take a moment, look at it, and appreciate it. And then stop and think what it represents. We adorn our churches with an instrument of death. We have as our symbol of faith a sign of capital punishment of the worst kind. Now, if Jesus had died by hanging, I suppose we would have a noose over the altar. Or if by firing squad, a rifle. Or by lethal injection, a hypodermic needle. But we have a cross. A cross to remind us of evil and good. A cross to remind us of sin and redemption, to remind us of death and life. St. Paul, writing to the church in the city of Corinth, said, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those of us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So what is the message of the cross? Why is the cross an instrument of death, an instrument of capital punishment by the state, so important? St. Paul saw the cross as central to the Christian faith. He knew that the Greek mind looked for wisdom and that the Jew sought signs. He knew the cross was a stumbling block to the Jews and foolishness to the Greeks. And yet he vowed to preach nothing but Christ crucified. Why? I think it's because he knew that the cross represented Christ as nothing else does. And he knew that the Christ represented the power and the wisdom of God as nothing else does. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Paul is showing the young church in Corinth the difference between the wisdom of the world and the wisdom of God, as represented by the cross. Weakness rather than strength, vulnerability rather than force, love rather than hate, the very opposite of the values of the world. To Paul and his converts who are being saved, Jesus has transformed the emblem of a cruel death into the symbol of the loving power of the Almighty God. And Paul also says that it is the church which represents a radical reversal of the world's values. Not many of you were wise or influential or of noble birth, but God chose you. Initially, God chose for his church foolish people, lowly and despised people, people whose very existence the world ignored, so that whatever the church accomplished, it could not boast about it. It could only give God the glory. Now, is that the church you and I know? Or have we become cultural Christians? Do we look to the power of the cross or to the power of the world? The wisdom of God or the wisdom of the world? Of course, the world's wisdom has a place for religion. Make no mistake about it. The world welcomes the church as long as it stays in its place. In fact, the belief that America is a Christian nation, wrapping the cross and the flag, or putting "In God We Trust" on our license plate, is often quite popular. But the world has no room for those foolish things which God has said is important: to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. Marcus Borg, in his book Meeting Jesus Again for the First Time, says that the wisdom of the world is pretty much summed up in what you see is what you get. What you see is what you get. That is, human satisfaction and meaning come from the visible world of ordinary experience. And Borg says the material world lives according to its dominant values, which he refers to as the three A's: achievement, affluence, and appearance. I think that's a pretty good description of the wisdom of the world. Achievement, affluence, appearance. Has the church, have you and I, bought into those values? Do we live our lives judging ourselves and others by achievement, by affluence, by appearance? If those are our values, if that is what we embrace as wisdom, then what in the world do we do with Jesus and his cross? What are we to make of the Beatitudes in today's gospel? If achievement, affluence, and appearance are our values, then how ridiculous does the Sermon on the Mount sound? Anyone making a list of the truly happy in this world would not include the poor, or those who mourn, or the meek. After all, nice guys finish last, and they're usually called losers. Our list of the truly happy wouldn't include those who are hungry and thirsty for righteousness, or the persecuted, or the merciful. After all, they are easy marks, and toughness is essential in making it in the world. Or the pure in heart. Who's pure in today's society? Or even the peacemakers. Jesus must have been deluded when he called such people blessed or happy or fortunate. So, was Jesus deluded or divine? That's the question. Was he deluded or divine? You see, Jesus really means to reverse the world's wisdom and the world's values. He really, really means to promise to such unlikely people as he lists in the Beatitudes the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom is theirs not because they try hard to be meek or merciful, so on. No, the kingdom is theirs because of God's grace, because of God's freely given love. And it is a costly grace symbolized by the cross. In calling us to be his disciples, the Christ frees us from the wisdom of this world to be his ridiculous, blessed people. So, are we willing to accept the folly of discipleship, the reversal of the world's wisdom? If we don't, we choose to cut ourselves off from Christ's liberating grace. Now, make no mistake about it. That is not an easy choice. But I hope no one's ever told you that being a Christian is easy. So which will it be for you? The wisdom of the world, achievement, affluence, appearance, or the wisdom of God? Salvation for those who trust in the apparent folly of the cross of Christ. Hear Paul again. Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. May God grant us grace to look to the cross and to the one who stretches out his loving arms to embrace us. Amen.
Let us stand to affirm our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
Crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and for all your creation. We pray to you, Lord God, saying, hear our prayer. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Theirs is the dominion of heaven. And so we pray. Unite the church, guide all its leaders. Let us show the world the love of Jesus.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. And so we pray. Give your people the will and the courage to value your service above all lesser gods.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Blessed are the peacemakers, God's own children. And so we pray. Bring peace to the world, security to the nations, and safety to the cities.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And so we pray. Remove from us prejudice and injustice, and raise up among us those who will labor for the good of all whom you have made.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so we pray. Be present with those who are sick, imprisoned, or in distress, especially those on our prayer list. Especially Margaret, Jean,
Steve,
Nicole,
J.R.,
Blair,
John
and Joan,
Paul,
Marie,
Chuck,
Jimmy,
Martha,
Renee,
Russell,
Jaden,
Ryan,
Teddy,
Richard,
Karen,
Regina,
Irene,
Larry,
June,
Michael,
Joe,
Margaret,
Laura,
Baylor,
Shay,
Ed,
Doug,
Cecilia,
Ed,
Alberta,
Tom,
Jim,
Chad,
Angela,
Judy,
Sally,
Tony,
Gordon,
Steve,
Marianne,
Jane,
Mary,
David,
Ron and family,
Charles,
Andrew,
Rusty.
Make us quick to love and serve our neighbors. We pray for the members of our armed forces. We give thanks for those celebrating birthdays this week, especially Drew Jones, Sally Sieg, Debbie Bryant, John Hawkins, Jean Sieg, Tracy Costco, and Joseph Kemp. Are there any other intercessions? Rejoice and be glad. Their reward is great in heaven. And so we pray. We remember all who have witnessed to your love with their lives. Give us strength to testify in Christ before the rulers of our own day.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Almighty God, you have taught us to do justice, love kindness, and practice humility before you. Make our faith active in love, that your name may be praised and your people served throughout the earth. through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you
in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us.
Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. announcements I would call your attention to. First and foremost, I suppose, is the fact that we're beginning a new month and a new quarter of the church year, and the new day-by-days are available, and we hope you'll take one. Excellent meditation materials. Remind you that the adult class meets at 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings. We're studying the saints, and it's just been a lot of fun as members of the class pick their particular saint they want to share with the class. And some of the findings have been not only informative, but sometimes hilarious, and especially when we dealt with St. Mary Magdalene this morning. Next Sunday, an expert of sorts on the saints, Dr. David Pennebaker, will be with the class, and so we invite all of you to come as he shares his expertise on that subject. Are there any other announcements to be made? Yes.
A couple weeks ago, I made this announcement about the little flags that we're going to decorate for. A couple weeks ago, I made an announcement, a big thing, about the little flags that we're going to decorate to send to George, our bishop, on his going away. Well, that's all well and good, so just put them out. So, he and I are going to hand out as we were going out of the church, and I'm going to take one and write whatever you want to on it, either by George or whatever you want to do, just send him on his way to whatever he's going to do after he retires. Do not avoid leaving without the
As we prepare to say goodbye to Bishop George and whatever else a bishop might do after retirement. Any other announcements? Walking love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Amen.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, because in the mystery of the Word made flesh, you have caused a new light to shine in our hearts, to give the knowledge of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Give thanks to you, O God, for the goodness and love which you have made known to us in creation, in the calling of Israel to be your people, in your word spoken through the prophets, and above all in the word made flesh, Jesus your Son. For in these last days you sent him to be incarnate from the Virgin Mary, to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. In him you have delivered us from evil, and made us worthy to stand before you. In him you have brought us out of error into truth, out of sin into righteousness, out of death into life. On the night before he died for us, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, according to his command, O Father, we remember his death, we proclaim his resurrection, we await his coming in glory, and we offer our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to you, O Lord of all, presenting to you from your creation this bread and this wine. We pray you, gracious God, to send your Holy Spirit upon these gifts, that they may be the sacrament of the body of Christ, and his blood of the new covenant. Unite us to your Son in his sacrifice, that we may be acceptable through him, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. In the fullness of time, put all things in subjection under your Christ, and bring us to that heavenly country where, with blessed Thaddeus and all your saints, we may enter the everlasting heritage of your sons and daughters through Jesus Christ our Lord, the firstborn of all creation, the head of the church, and the author of our salvation, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Gifts of God for the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died and rose for you. Feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Thank you. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart, through Christ our Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you this day and remain with you always. Amen. Amen. Let us go forth in the name of Christ. Alleluia, alleluia.
Thanks be to God.